I've shared with you the perspective, my own perspective on how we got here this morning, and other people have done a similar thing. But one of the problems we face is that we can get worse. And this is why part of the conversation has got to move from how we got here to where we are going to go. Where the government people are concerned, they can't escape looking back until they accept what responsibility is theirs. There are a lot of people who they can go into the news conferences and tell people they don't want to talk about the past. But at the end of the day, politically, there are a lot of people who will be reflecting on how we got here. Because remember, this is an administration made up of people who came to us as problem solvers. All right? That's our stark reality. All right? But for the purpose of this conversation, I think it's important for us to acknowledge what has happened, what has gone wrong, and what we've done right too. You have to also identify the things that you have seen that have worked well. I mean, there are people who, the health system has to a large extent thrown up a lot of people who have, worked efficiently and stuff. Doctors and nurses and stuff, people like that who have done yeoman service for the country, but this is their greatest test yet. Now let us move to where we are now. What, over 800 people in care, and you are now at a point where you may have more significant cases. We got a lot of elderly people. We've been losing some of those elderly people. The big test here now is with respect to the facilities. They're overwhelmed by the in terms of numbers. They're using Black Mangala, using Harrison Point, but you still got hotels that they're using as well to put up people. And this question of, does it make sense to pull everybody from their home once the test positive and bring additional burdens to the system, or do you have them self-isolate? Where can we go in trying to tackle this aspect of the problem? That's the next major issue. Well, and all of this, how do you prevent further spread?
Well, my take on it, Mr. Ellis, I remember this was my take from the beginning. See, because one thing I'd like to be is consistent. My take on it, I ain't telling them to close. I ain't telling them to stop the people from coming. I'm saying keep them away from the normal population until they get the all clear. And I can die saying that. I got 3 children and 3 grandchildren hoping to get more, and I really want them come and get caught up in nothing. I know that it do not develop in the individual countries, and we thank God for that from the beginning. Then the people come, let them come with the understanding that they're going
rich
to
people.
Be... the tourists, the people coming back home, the whoever coming in here to the 2 ports, airport and seaport, they're got to be isolated until they get the all clear.
Whoa.
This idea about self-isolating and self-quarantine, them things don't work. And we all know that, them things don't work. Left a man off his own understanding, and it can't work. So therefore, they've got to be prepared to go under some government-instituted quarantine until they get the order.
Can I suggest to you that you have a greater threat from people who come in and out of your house today than you have from somebody coming in from abroad, except for if that person is bringing another variant? Your greater threat right now is your friend next door, or the person that you would normally go by and say hi and look for. Your greater threat is the person who may stop you in your car. They are talking through the window without a mask, and you do not have on yours. That person is somebody you know, and you know well. And because you know them so well, you let your guard down. And you say, well, that's not a problem. And they only want to talk to you for a second, you know. They tell you, they flag you down. I got something to tell you. All right? And they come by the window and they tell you. But by the time they leave you, you discover that 2 days from now or 3 days from now, you know what? This person got COVID. And now you start to shiver and say, but wait. But that person who just talked to me through my car window, you got more of a threat of that than anything else?
Mr. Ellis, I'm not denying that, you know. So then let's tackle it on all two fronts. But I'm saying that the body that is my neighbor that got it, it didn't develop in their house. So it gets in here. I am saying that we can do our thing. We did it last year and bring it down. We can do it again. The point is that while we're here fooling around, that more strains coming in. Remember, it is only coming out of the Caymans or somewhere that we were told that 3 people come out of Barbados had it, this new strain, because we had tests and couldn't get back the results for over 10 days. We shooting ourselves in the foot, Mr. Ellis. So the same way that you know that the threat could be from the body next door, you definitely threat of the new strains is from who coming in too. What is here right now, I feel we can handle it and get out. And by summertime, we can be back COVID-free again.
Mm-hmm.
And I
okay.
keep asking is what is going to happen after that.
All right. Thank you very much.
We welcome you to...
Thank you very much. Just one other point I wanted to draw to people's attention, because many people who have applied for passes do not realize that those passes... they are coming to them as text messages in their phones. They may be looking for them via email, or they may even be looking for them via WhatsApp. They come via your text messages. So those of you who believe that you have not been able to get back or get those passes, please check your text messages before you conclude that you have not been able to get them, all right? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello. Miss Ellis?
Yes, hi.
I'm a relief watchman, and I haven't have a pass.
You're a relief watchman? I just suggested that people go and check the text messages.
Yeah, but I checked mine, and I see anything.
So you know you're going to have to do.
What
the people that you apply to are the ones that you're going to have to make contact with and ask them what's going on.
I made contact with the principal, and she said that she don't have any prerogative to give me anything.
So what
are you supposed to do?
So you will stay home. You will stay home until you get a pass, then, unless you go and pay $50,000 to the court. You don't even get that in a year as a watchman, as a relief watchman. So you can't afford that.
So what are you supposed to do? Stop home then?
Stop home. You got to stay home until you get the pass. Otherwise, you can get locked up.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right. But I would suggest to you that you talked about the principal.
Yeah.
Assuming you're working with
I call the Ministry of Education. They can't get through to the Ministry of Education.
Oh, dear. But somebody in the ministry or at the school should be able to give you some guidance on that. The principal should be in a position to inquire on your behalf. I think that would be, if not the principal, whoever is your boss. Who's your boss?
The principal was my boss.
Right, well, they should perhaps assist you in trying to get to the bottom of it.
I can't get through to... Education.
Yeah. Education might be under so much stress right now. You know, so many people in government who work in the administration of things, that the affairs of the country, are under so much pressure. I mean, I feel for a lot of them, and that's where I think, as much as possible, a lot of Barbadians would rally with the administration and stuff, as long as they feel confident that the information that they're being provided is, you know, accurate, timely, and sincere. And this for this administration is a major challenge. It's trying to maintain credibility on the issues that confront the country. And from where I sit, if you lose credibility on COVID, you're going to lose credibility on other aspects of the management of the country. As far as I'm concerned, I can see it coming at you like, you know, like a freight train. You know, because people can say, but so if they didn't tell me the truth here and there, or if they withheld the truth, because sometimes this is not about telling the truth, it is withholding the truth and allowing the rumor mill to take root in this country, especially as it relates to social media and people sharing information. All right, because no matter where you are in this country today, there's always somebody who's got a family member who is in a high-ranking position somewhere who is able to share with them, this is the truth. All right, and if you don't tackle this, you are likely to find that on the other things that you present to the country, there's always going to be this question of is this the truth? Or I wonder what they're hiding from me. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. It's 5 minutes after midday. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hi.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. I got a few things to say, Mr. Ellis, if you would allow me, but I want to say that I appreciate the wide angle view that you've brought to the program so far. I just want to raise some observations. When you contact the vaccine center, the person on the other side does not identify who they are. I find that a bit strange considering that they know who you are and there's particular types of information that they're asking for. Whenever you call a contact center, you often hear, "Hi, I am Jane, I am Bill, how may I assist you?" So you get a sense of that you know who you're talking with. And we know that holds even when we call the telephone operator to get information. There's usually somebody on the other end identifying who they are. Now, I want to ask this other question, though. I have to ask this, and I've heard Glenn Murray raise this before. Where is the sociology in all that we are doing? We are arresting people and making examples of our own people without thinking about the implications. My question is, are those people we are arresting who are before the law courts, are they super spreaders? We are arresting and shaming people who under normal circumstances would not be doing anything illegal. And we seem to think that laying out the law is a duty of care and somehow laws will resolve the health and social crisis that we're having with this COVID situation. In my view, the law cannot stop the spread of COVID. And I think it is there for a reason. Let me just say that in case somebody misunderstands what I'm saying. How do you think people are looking at this particular situation? All right. Long after this virus has passed, some people remember it as laws were set up not to help them, but to penalize them for something that was not their fault. And I want to say to you, and I will make this statement, the majority of Bajans are complying with the law and complying with the COVID protocols. I hear a lot of generalizations being thrown out there. A lot of condemnations are flying fast and furious. People are beginning to tear on each other, and the messages don't seem uniting, all right? I think our focus has to change. We have to concentrate on testing, change our stance with respect to our tone, because the undertone seems really strident with respect to how we're spreading information and with respect to how we are mobilizing people to voluntarily assist in the fight against the spread of COVID. The spread is already here. So I don't know to what extent the message staying at home is still viable. To me, it now becomes questionable because there are people who are not partying. There are people who are at home and they are waiting on tests. So they could be spreading the virus to their families and not know it. So to me, the extent of saying stay home, the extent of how that has now been helping, it remains questionable.
Well, can I say that to a large extent, this runs consistent with how Barbados treats so many issues. This is a lick and lock up society.
Yeah.
All right. We've seen it as we've grown up in the country. The first line of defense is always, or the first line of approach is to put lashes in somebody, either physically or orally, you know. The government has set up various little task forces and stuff like that. It would do them well to look at a task force for behavioral specialists,
right.
Though.
Yeah.
To help, because this is where we fall down so often. We are so good at setting up a building. You see how it's so easy to go and put the people in the Blackmon Gollop, who spend money down at Harrison Point and stuff like that. We could fit physically, we can do it. But we are poor at that other end of it. We know when people suffer pain physically. We can send them to accident and emergency. But there's a reason why the psychiatric hospital is so low down on the totem pole. The stigma associated with that side of it. And outflowing from it, in my judgment, we treat these softer issues in a different way. This one, this situation here now, requires that we fight this so-called war on all fronts. You hear them talk about no retreat, no surrender, but they forget that in the world wars, they had to fight a psychological war too. There was no retreat, no surrender at that level. Where are we fighting this on that front? We will not win this by condemning people who are doing things in the wrong way. We have spent a lot of time trying to explain to them why. Why you have to stay in the house a little longer? You know, what are the things that you can do to distract you from the things that you would normally be involved in? What games can you play? What can you go on the computer and see? None of this is happening in this country, you know? But instead, they expect people to just fall in line.
That's right.
And some of what I am seeing coming from the courts, I don't think that this is the approach, man.
I don't think so.
To me, it is going way above and beyond to try to bring people in line and without actually being diversified in that approach. And therefore, that's why I joined with Glenn in asking the question: where is the sociology and where is the psychology in it?
You know? Well, David, I'm glad that you and I are on the same page.
Louis, one must be first time that you and agree on anything, though.
Well, you know, so maybe we will get a breakthrough with this COVID thing. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Yes, bye-bye. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
You're confused.
You're right, because this COVID got me real confused. Good afternoon, listeners. Mr. Ellis?
Yes?
I want to know, right, what vaccine did Barbados pay on? I hear a word ago Barbados paid on a vaccine. So what vaccine did Barbados pay on?
I'm not sure. The government will have to tell you that. I don't know.
Oh, because they're sending this free one down here. This is a trial for all of us. I didn't mean the other people like in the UK and then using the other vaccine that like it
Listen,
working for them.
Excuse me.
Huh?
Is a trial? Their vaccines are a trial for them too.
Yeah, but the other one, the Pfizer vaccine, like it working better.
Well, I don't know.
Right, like it working good in Israel. It working good in the south parts of Canada.
Is there anything to suggest that AstraZeneca Is there anything to suggest that AstraZeneca isn't working well in the places that it is being used?
But no, with the South African variant that we're talking about, no, I want us to be able to fight against that.
It has been established by the South Africans that it is not as effective in fighting their variant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. All right, let me go on now. What happened now with the lockdown should have been done in the first month after Christmas. because the first month after Christmas is be real slow. And what happened though, that should be done before that time. Not we will got all this problem now. If they listened in the first month when we was calling, some callers were calling and saying so, and lockdown in January, we will have all this word spread of
the could not,
around the country.
Ma'am, you know full well
mm-hmm.
that they would have had hell to convince a whole set of people in this country to lock down in January. They would have had to do a significant job with it because there are too many people in this country who would resist it. And they are resisting it even now. They don't listen to the science. As far as they are concerned, the science doesn't matter. What matters to them is that we are going to find a way of fighting COVID somehow, but they don't have a blueprint for it. And what will then happen is that we will open up completely. And every day, this place will shut. The next one will shut. We would reach the stage where we would be so concerned about our health that we will not be going out to work at all. So they will be firing people for not coming to work or cussing them. You know, the kind of mm-hmm. stuff that some of them like to indulge in because... if they can't get the way, you have to beat these people into submission because that's the only thing that these people know. Mm-hmm. So and we will just, my view is
mm-hmm.
that if the government does not move early enough, and I believe that we move too late, and I wait to see where this will take us, if the government doesn't move early enough, then COVID will close the country.
But Mr. Ellis, look, some we on lockdown home and the bakery stores open, the grocery store open, and it's still spreading over out there. So I don't
because believe... because there's been a lot of activity out there, no? We have had a lot more activity in this so-called pause
mm-hmm.
than I think we had in the first lockdown. From what I've seen on the streets. And I think the mistake was to call it a pause. And not to say it was a lockdown.
Okay.
You know, people mm-hmm. feel, because they treat it differently. I mean, at the end of the day, look, let's give credit where it is due. The politicians, like the rest of us, we are all learning this thing as we go along. And you try a thing here and you try a thing there. The critical thing is to learn from the mistakes of the past. And as we look at this, you are seeing that you can't be half-hearted with it. You got to do what Jacinta Ardern did in New Zealand. Last week, 2 weeks ago, they had one case of the variant. One case, they shut down the place, the area for 3 days for one case. We got so many of these cases out here. And look how relaxed we are with it as a people. And the government itself has been a little too relaxed. But you know what? Every move you make, and this is the reality. Whatever move you make, Miss Undecided, you can get cursed. You know that. You're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. But you've got to take the decision that ultimately is in the best interest of the country.
But Mr. Ellis, it seems like this South variant, virus.
South African variant? Oh, you know that? You could come up with that?
Okay, it's spreading too fast. And they said that this South variant spread more faster than the B117. Because B117 is identified on the PCR test. But this South African one, something you might miss it. But anyhow, Mr. Alice, the supermarket, the grocery store should open back 7 days. That is what causes all these long lines about the places. All back the supermarket 7 days, and then no need for this alphabetical names. Before they done with that alphabetical names, everything was running smooth. Over back the grocery store, like 7 days to let people go and shop. This long line causing so much problems all around the place, full of long lines. Because the short hours, I know who the boy that putting things. Telling the government our voices. I know what they're doing out there. They cause a lot of problems in the country, though. And Mr. Ellis, I had something else to say. No, I can't remember. No, I can't remember, Miss Ellis.
I told you from the time you started this conversation today that you were a little confused.
Yeah, all right, wait, you got me real confused. Not confused, but I mean the COVID and you're hearing this and you're hearing that. But let me tell you, I want the government to tell, I mean the medical people to tell us what other variant we have in Barbados.
Well, I asking the same question, and the answer that they have given to this, to me, is it is inadequate. It is inadequate. We have already had to pay a high price for not moving early enough on the British variant, the UK variant. And having been through that experience, I can't imagine that we would want to be given this kind of answer that we got earlier this week to that particular question. I just can't support that at all.